Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, July 31st, and I am reading from the New International Version and the New Living Translation for the book of Ezekiel. Let's pick up in Romans chapter 3, and the title in my Bible says, God's Faithfulness. What advantage then is there to being a Jew, or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I'm using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderously claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result. Their condemnation is just. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law? Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. And now let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 74, a maskil of Asaph. O God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smolder against the sheep of your pasture? Remember the nation you purchased long ago, the people of your inheritance whom you redeemed, Mount Zion where you dwelt. Turn your steps toward these everlasting ruins, all this destruction the enemy has brought on the sanctuary. Your foes roared in the place where you met with us. They set up their standards as signs. They behave like men wielding axes to cut through a thicket of trees. They smashed all the carved paneling with their axes and hatchets. They burned your sanctuary to the ground. They defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their hearts, "We will crush them completely." They burned every place where God was worshipped in the land. We are given no signs from God, no prophets are left, and none of us knows how long this will be. How long will the enemy mock you, God? Will the foe revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Take it from the folds of your garment and destroy them. But God is my king from long ago. He brings salvation on the earth. It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave it as food to the creatures of the desert. It was you who opened up springs and streams. You dried up the ever-flowing rivers. The day is yours and yours also the night. You established the sun and moon. It was you who set all the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter. Remember how the enemy has mocked you, Lord, how foolish people have reviled your name. Do not hand over the life of your dove to wild beasts. Do not forget the lives of your afflicted people forever. Have regard for your covenant, because haunts of violence fill the dark places of the land. Do not let the oppressed retreat in disgrace. May the poor and needy praise your name. Rise up, O God, and defend your cause. Remember how fools mock you all day long. Do not ignore the clamor of your adversaries, the uproar of your enemies, which rises continually. Before we move on, I just want to say how interesting it is that we are reading Psalm 74 in conjunction with Ezekiel, and particularly during the time when we have just read this temple vision that Ezekiel had, where the glory of the Lord has left the temple. Listen to these words from Psalm 74 again. Remember the nation you purchased long ago, the people of your inheritance whom you redeemed. Mount Zion, where you dwelt. Turn your steps toward these everlasting ruins, all this destruction the enemy has brought on the sanctuary. And then it goes on to talk about the destruction that came, probably when the Babylonians came in and destroyed the temple. And then Asaph recounts the difficult nature of times when we're talking with God, we're asking for help, and yet it feels as if he is not listening. He says, "We are given no signs from God, no prophets are left, and none of us knows how long this will be. How long will the enemy mock you, God? Will the foe revile your name forever?" And then the psalmist makes a turn, and he begins to recount
all the different ways that the Lord has worked on his behalf in the past. And most prominently, and oftentimes we see this story coming up again and again, he talks about the Red Sea, and he talks about God who split open the sea by your power, verse 13. As he recounts the ways that God has acted in the past, it serves as a form of prayer for Asaph that God would work in these ways again. And so in seasons where we do not see the hand of God, I think it is very important for us to recount the ways throughout life and throughout the biblical account that we have seen God at work. And we can ask that the Lord would again work in those same ways. It's also a warning for us, isn't it? That perhaps Asaph couldn't see that the destruction that was brought on them was because of the idolatry of their hearts. And so we continually need to be looking at the sinfulness of our own hearts and asking the Lord to help us see the ways that his word is transforming us. Let's move on now then to the book of Ezekiel. Today we are in the second part of Ezekiel chapter 14, and we will be reading verses 12 through the end of the chapter. The title in my Bible says, "The Certainty of the Lord's Judgment." Then this message came to me from the Lord. "Son of man, suppose the people of the country were to sin against me, and I lifted my fist to crush them, cutting off their food supply and sending a famine to destroy both people and animals. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, their righteousness would save no one but themselves, says the sovereign Lord. Or suppose I were to send wild animals to invade the country, kill the people, and make the land too desolate and dangerous to pass through. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, even if those three men were there, they wouldn't be able to save their own sons and daughters. They alone would be saved, but the land would be made desolate. Or suppose I were to bring war against the land, and I sent enemy armies to destroy both people and animals. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, even if those three men were there, they wouldn't be able to save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved. Or suppose I were to pour out my fury by sending an epidemic into the land, and the disease killed people and animals alike. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, they wouldn't be able to save their own sons and daughters. They alone would be saved by their righteousness." Now this is what the sovereign Lord says. How terrible it will be when all four of these dreadful punishments fall upon Jerusalem: war, famine, wild animals, and disease, destroying all her people and animals. Yet there will be survivors, and they will come here to join you as exiles in Babylon. You will see with your own eyes how wicked they are, and then you will feel better about what I have done to Jerusalem. When you meet them and see their behavior, you will understand that these things are not being done to Israel without cause. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I had to go back to the Bible Project video to make sense of what was going on in Ezekiel today. Remember, here Ezekiel is acting as a lawyer, and he's saying that even if Noah and Daniel and Job were to come back, and if they were to pray for the people, it is as if God would say it is too late because their sins are many and they have continued down a road of disobedience despite the mercy God has shown them over the years. As we think about Ezekiel and the sin of the people, and we marry that concept with what we hear in Romans chapter 3, that there is none righteous, no, not one, that each of us really deserves the judgment and condemnation of God. And yet, God has made a way for us in Jesus the Christ. This is the beautiful nature of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. It says in verse 22, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. All of us are deserving of the wrath that came on Jerusalem. And yet now we have a Savior, a sinless Savior, who gave Himself so that we can be free. And so let us pray together, thanking the Lord for this wonderful gift. Father, we thank You so much for Jesus, who came to live and die on our behalf. We thank You, Lord, that even though our conscience condemns us, You do not condemn us. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, whatever besetting sin they face, Lord, that You would give them the courage to turn from it. And also, Lord, if there are things in their past that they regret, would You cleanse their conscience? Would You help them to turn to You and to be reminded that You are working all things together for the good of those who love the Lord? Father, thank You for this community of faith. I pray, Lord, for those in our midst who are sick and are hurting and are in need of the care of our great physician. Thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunities we have to live and work. Thank You, Lord, for the trees and the sun and the moon that again and again remind us of Your faithful love and care. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.